Zayin Nisan, we're holding in Siman Kuf Tet Zayin, Halacha Tesvav, and we're going to Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, Halacha Dalet. So first we're continuing with Kashrin, and there's a very practical approach here that we need to make sure we understand. The entire utensil has to be immersed in water, but the Chiddush is not like Tvilas Kelim. When it comes to Kashrin, it could be in two different stages or three different stages, meaning to say the entire utensil doesn't have to be in one shot into the water. And therefore, let's say it's a utensil that you're holding on to with pliers. It's called a tzvat. In order to immerse it into, so now you have to let go. Problem is, if you're going to let go and you're scared of dropping it into the entire boiling cauldron or whatever you want to call it. So I remember that when I was doing kashering, one of the scariest moments is when you have to remind yourself that when you're wearing these gloves, if someone drops a pot and they reach into it and then the water goes into the glove, that is a very scary moment. And one has to be so careful with that. Okay, most people are not doing the large nursing home kashering, but just in case, good information to know. In any case, so back to us. So the thing that the kids is discussing is when you're holding on with a plier, so you need to let go. So one of the best ways is to actually hold on to it with two pliers in two different spots and let go of both spots in different moments. So this way you're making sure that the boiling water has reached every spot on the pot. Okay, there's another simple answer that the Kitzur gives, which is to put it into these baskets. A lot of times they use these baskets. The only thing is if you have a lot of utensils into the basket, you have to make sure that the water is reaching, so you have to shake it around. And this way you are able to kasher all the utensils in one shot. The halacha is, as the Kitzur points out, that the chatchila, one should only immerse and kasher a utensil that's called Eino Binyam. Eino Binyam means it wasn't used within 24 hours. With the evidence, actually okay. The utensil itself that you're using also, people ask all the time, do you have to use a Pesach pot or a non-Pesach pot? The answer is either one works because you're not using a pot that was used within 24 hours. Another very important element, and this is the reason why, as the Achronim write, and we'll see in a moment that the person should always only do hagalah and kashering with someone that really knows what they're doing. Because one of the halachas is that it has to be always resicha, which means it's always boiling. And many times what happens is you can watch people kashering and they're throwing in stuff and there's no boiling point anymore. And there's certain utensils that boiling, if it's not at the stage of boiling, mala resicha, which means that it's mamish bubbling and boiling, it won't kasher the utensils. So although we might mean well, but we're not accomplishing the what we want to do. There's also, if a person has to kasher an entire pot, one of the ways of doing so is throwing in the stone after the pot is entirely filled. This, by the way, also became like almost sometimes what people don't realize, it looks like magical stuff. You're throwing in the stone. Oh, the stone is hotter, actually. It's heated up in the oven. And what it does is it overflows the water, but also makes sure not to cool down the water. There's a minig. And this was very fascinating to me. That was with a very chashav Talmud Chacham, and he was doing kashering, really. We noticed that he's not using cold water, so he said that that's not the standard. Now, what does cold water got to do with kashering? So after you kasher, let's say in a pot in boiling water, you're supposed to take that pot immediately after and put it in cold water. It's based on Rashi. Another, the tool already mentioned this, Beragoyla. The idea is that it stops the taste that you just purged from going back in. Now, it could be that we don't fully understand how these things work. Like I said, this is like magic, and maybe we're not Chazanu much more than we understand. But the bottom line is that this is put on Shulchan Aruch. And as the Kitzur says, it's a minik. However, if you didn't do it, it's not me'akiv. Okay. If someone could do the Haggadah, like we mentioned, in front of someone that's a baki, that's a real expert, that is the right thing to do. And we start to Siman Kuf Yud Zayin when it comes to what's called Ta'aroives Chometz. And this applies very much, I was speaking on videos that we were making regarding certain items that, let's say, children that have special diets or grown-ups have special diets, and they need to use certain, let's say, rice-based products. And they want to make sure that there's no chum. Some said you can't even verify. It's difficult to verify, even with the OU and as helpful as they are. But what you have to know is that if it's chum, if it's a very minute amount, they're having this actually controversy also when it comes to the Kirkland water because of citric acid. So these things are really less than 60. And if you're buying them before Pesach and they're already mixed in, it's batel. And that's something important to know. So that's really what the kitzur is discussing here. If there's a tarovis chametzer Pesach until nighttime, so it's considered batel b'shishim. The chiddush of chametz is also b'mashu is on Pesach itself. It got mixed in Pesach itself. And even that, by the way, there's Rabbeinu Tam that holds it's also batel b'shishim. But the halacha, we the chachila certainly say the chametz is also b'mashu. Means even a tiny bit will make the item that it was fell into forbidden. So the kids discusses cases where you find a kernel in the chicken. Hopefully you'll never have such cases like that. But that is how this halacha will apply. If it's, it will be also b'mashu, so even if you remove the kernel, it will be also. But if it's happened before Pesach, so then it would be okay. There's an interesting halacha that the kids also discusses where you have a well of water and you find kernels. And there's a question whether this water now had kernels that had fermented. Now, the big chiddush is that if it happened before Pesach, okay, but the machine happened on Pesach itself. If it's also b'mashu, it makes all the water also. So this became an amazing controversy in Eretz Yisrael. What about the Kinneret? The water, much of the water, maybe today it's a little bit different, much of the water comes from the Kinneret. So drinking-wise, many tzaddikim, Yirei Shamayim, did not want to drink any water from the tap. And today, in truth, most of the water that people are drinking and they're usually not from the tap. But the reason why they didn't want to do so is because of this concern that the entire water in the Kinneret becomes also because some holy Jew, not necessarily an Arab, because that would be an interesting shadow that applies to chametz also of a non-Jew, that's considered batel b'shishim, an interesting discussion. But it would make the entire Kinneret water perhaps aser. Again, there's what to rely on, but that's where this chumrah comes from. There's also a discussion that the kids, when it comes to being mehava, scorching and putting the birds over a fire that's using straw, which might have also stalks. This is also not very common today. And finally, the famous controversy of kitnias. So I don't want to call it a controversy. There's a minhag, a very established minhag for many years already, that kitniot, which also has a list of what's included in kitniot. These are things that used to, one of the main reasons actually that's brought down is because it was, let's say beans and different types of pods would get mixed in with the grains that were growing together or next to each other, and it would be difficult to remove the grains. And therefore, if it was coming in contact with water, it would become also. So that's where there's a minig by Ashkenaz, and even by Svardim, there are Svardim that are makbid and kitniot. They even saw the Ramot Chaliyahu mentions this. So one thing that we need to know, if it's pure kitniot, then you know for sure that it never came in contact. Yeah, let's say in Kashrus, they know that quinoa, for example. So there's a big discussion of quinoa is included or not included. If you have kosher for Passover quinoa, for example. So if, again, you could ask your Rav if one should be machmir or not, but certainly someone that has difficulty with his diet, kitniot would be a very suitable thing for people that have difficulty with digesting everything else. And the extension of this, according to the kitter, is including also dried fruits, all these things also because they were sometimes treated with flour, or they were with things that came in contact with flour or with wheat. And that's what the list, if you look in the price scheme, there's also the OU has its own list of how far do we go when it comes to kinneret. But it's important to know, never to embarrass someone. I remember sometimes a printer brings on the table string beans. String beans! String beans is there. So most people would treat that, but it's not so pashut. And certainly, since it's not the rice, it's not the rabbanon, it's a minig. So one has to know. And also, if it fell in, the Mishnah Berurah holds that it's batel b'roif. That means it's not mamish asa. That's important. And certainly, a person could keep it around in their home. The kitzur goes on to give different examples. And one of them actually is what's called types of spices, saffron, a neglach, zafrin. These are things that there is a concern of chimutz. Now, today probably that didn't apply, but because of this, so that's the reason when it comes to also Havdalah, a lot of people don't use, if they're doing Havdalah, doing Choloma, they won't use these things for b'minei b'samim because of this concern. And I saw even in the Piskei Teshuvah, they even tabak. Because sometimes they mix it, maybe alcohol, this type of stuff. So one should be careful. But really, if you prepare these things before Pesach, halachically, it should be okay. Smoking cigars and cigarettes is a big question. And someone just told me he came back from Germany and he saw all the companies that it's not so simple that the cigars are okay because they treat them with alcohol and it's actually flavored. So perfect time to make a quit on bad habits. This is the time to do it. Vapes and all this stuff is also quite complicated because it's something that actually turns into droplets. Someone was explaining to me, one of the agencies, the kashrus agencies, and therefore this is the time to free ourselves from any of the addictions that we have. Have a beautiful day.